The Lord be with you. Father in heaven, who are we that you should so set your love on us that you would not withhold your only Son, who willingly and joyfully gave it up for us? Thank you. Lord, keep teaching us the gospel. Keep giving us the gift of repentance and faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. You know, some people weep when they're sad. I don't do that much, but I sure weep when I'm happy. And I had to get myself together before I came up here. I want to introduce some guests we have this morning. Well, two guests, and then who's going to be participating in this service. I'm going to explain it in a moment. But I want to welcome Father Charles Talley from St. Barbara Mission in Old Santa Barbara, St. Barbara Parish in Old Santa Barbara Mission. Okay. You know, I've been practicing, Charles. I'm sorry. But Charles is a Franciscan friar. He's been pastor there for two years. But a wonderful man, and I know you don't have to be a Catholic to have the ashes put on your forehead. I'm just so grateful that you would come. And his youth pastor, Alex, right there. Good. Alex, good. And many of you met Don Johnson, pastor at Montecito Covenant. And somewhere back there is Helen Ree, and she's going to be participating in this whole service. Yeah. But we need to understand two things this morning about what this service means and how important it is to Jesus, what it stands for. And I want to give you four words. The first word is Lent. Now, a lot of you are used to the word. It means literally spring. And one way to maybe superficially get into the idea is spring is the time of getting back to basics. If it's baseball, it's going back to spring training and getting the fundamentals down. Maybe it's spring cleaning. The earliest references to Lent, this springtime season of preparation for the resurrection of Christ, dates back probably to the original apostles. The first men who were entrusted with the gospel, and they were recommending to the churches in the first century a fast, and I'll talk about that in a moment, of 40 days in preparation for the Lord's resurrection. It's something that as believers in Christ, we need to keep repeating, getting ready for it, thinking about what it means. So that's the first word. Today begins the season of Lent, at least in the Western Church. I think it starts on Monday for the Eastern Church. By that, I mean the Orthodox churches. The second word is repentance. Greek word is metanoia, change of mind, transformation of mind. It's what happened to the prodigal son when he came to his senses and went home. And there's nothing more basic than repentance for the Christian life. The first words out of Jesus' mouth were, repent. Change your mind, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, there's more to do than the basics, like repent, but you won't get to them unless you repent. And it's not a once-for-all experience or decision. It's a continuous metanoia, a continuous changing of the mind. And C.S. Lewis, who I love to quote, says, this is hard, this continuous repentance. We live in a fallen world. We've gotten ourselves in a deep hole that we can't get out of by ourselves. And what is the nature of that hole we've gotten ourselves into in this fallen planet? Well, we tried to live our lives as though they were ours, that we could be God, maybe better than God. We started behaving as if we belonged to ourselves. And so, as we think about repentance, fallen people, that's all of us, are not simply imperfect creatures who need improvement. We're rebels who need to lay down our arms. And Lewis writes, "Laying down your arms, surrendering, saying you are sorry, realizing that you have been on the wrong track, and getting ready to start life over again from the ground floor, that is the only way out of a hole. This process of surrender, this movement full speed astern, is what Christians call repentance." Now, repentance is no fun at all. It is something much harder than merely eating humble pie. It means unlearning all the self-conceit and self-will that we have been training ourselves into for thousands of years. Remember, this repentance, this willing submission to humiliation and a kind of death, is not something God demands of you before he will take you back, and which he could let you off if he chose. It is simply a description of what going back to him is like. If you ask God to take you back without repentance, then you're really asking him to let you go back without going back. It can't happen. So you don't have to jump up and achieve some kind of profound repentance to come to God. But if you come to God, well, you can't come without changing your direction. And for Christians over the centuries, this 40-day season, this thing we do every day, if we're smart, this period of intense self-examination is a time when the church together, and there's something beautiful about that, the church together can say, we're going to remember this full speed astern that we need to do if we're to stay in focus. And the third word is ashes. If you practice this Ash Wednesday service, and some of you may not want to, that's fine. That's cool, in fact. Just watch it. This is not a time to kind of check out and have a conversation with your neighbor, but it's a time to watch and think about. Now, the fixation of ashes in the form of a cross is a sign of mourning, of grief, of humiliation, of repentance. It's like the ashes of cremation. It's what the citizens of Nineveh did. When they repented after they heard Jonah's great sermon, they put ashes on their heads, saying figuratively that what we have been doing and how we've been living is worthless. So you put it on your forehead in the shape of the cross where you think. And it's unsightly. Looks kind of weird. That's the point. Where you think this sign of what's not worth our time, but we've devoted ourselves to. And you will hear, or something like this, from those who are helping us in the service, if you come to have the cross affixed to your forehead with the ashes, remember, from dust you came, and to dust you shall return. Last word is fasting. Now, by fasting, we don't mean, like, just stop eating. Well, you could do that for a season, I suppose. I've not done well with that one myself. I just get irritable when I do. But fasting is to take something out. And it can be food, because if you know, food is very basic. My wife, she's amazing. She can forget she had lunch. Did I have lunch today? Yeah. I'll miss lunch, but I haven't forgotten that I missed it. You know, it's just removing something that is good, not because it's bad. And pay close attention here. You remove the good not because it's bad or there's some merit in removing the good. No, you take out the good because, you know, the things that keep us from God's best aren't usually the worst things we do. It's the good things we worship. Sin is loving the wrong things, yes. But I think much more for us, it's loving the right things in the wrong way. They become little gods. So the enemy of the best is not the worst, but the merely good. I love to tell this story, and I think it's been a while since I told it, but when I was first married, Loretta and I were living in San Diego, and we had a friend who was an amazing cook, and her food was so good. And she was small, which meant she always cooked for herself, even when large people came over for dinner. And she was really into this thing, you know, Nouvelle Cuisine. You know, it's beautifully presented dishes, very small amounts. And I'd go to her house, and the food was so good, but I wanted five helpings, you know. It was just so tiny, and those little portions, they mocked me, you know. And she had moved to another part of town, and she had invited Loretta and me over for dinner, and so we're going in separate cars, and I got lost on the way to her house. And I knew it was going to be really good, but I made the mistake of missing lunch that day. So I knew I was going to arrive really hungry, and I was just kind of already I need to give up a little food because it's just one of my joys, and I need to focus from time to time. And I was driving around San Diego, could not find her house, but I kept driving by this restaurant. And there's still some around. They call it the Der Wiener Schnitzels. You know, the big hot dog restaurants have like, you know, 100 different hot dogs. It smells so good. And I couldn't find her house, and I was getting hungrier and hungrier, and I kept driving by this Der Wiener Schnitzel. Oh, so wonderful. And I thought, maybe I'll just stop and get a snack. So I got into the drive-thru, And I got a kraut dog, a chili dog, and a regular hot dog. And, of course, you need fries, right? Fries. And you need a large drink. Oh, it's good. And I found the house and sat down to a glorious meal that I couldn't enjoy. Just paraphrasing the Lord talking to Isaiah in chapter 55 of his book, he says, "Why do you waste your money and your time on things that don't satisfy?" Hot dog stands, fine. But he said, "Come to me, I'm going to set you a feast." But we're often far too easily pleased. And so the fast, again, it doesn't have to be radical, just that little thing that's good, and you should return to it, but maybe just take it off for a while to be reminded that God has something better. You know, again, the words I love to quote from C.S. Lewis. Does God think we want too much or too little? Well, and I quote Lewis, "If we consider the unblushing promises of reward and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the Gospels, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak." Hot dog-like. We're half-hearted creatures fooling around with sex and drink and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child wants to go on making mud pies in the slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. So, we fast with something to be reminded that there's so much more. So much more in life with God. So, after the choir sings, and I invite them to come on up now, we're going to be at four stations. Father Talley will be over there. Don will be back there. Helen over there, over here. And we'll have ashes. And again, if you want to come, we'll affix the sign of the cross to your head. And you can begin the season of Lent today, if you're so inclined. And again, this is... it's just fine if you don't want to do it. But again, I urge you, please don't wreck the service by talking a lot. Just watch and think about your relationship with God. Lord, thank you for the noble fellowship of apostles, for the glorious company of prophets and martyrs, and those who have taught us through the centuries.
Thank you for your holy word. Lord, show us your ways. Teach us the gift, to receive the gift of repentance. In Jesus' name, amen.